The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Happy Tuesday morning. It is Morning Drive here on WTBR 89.7 in Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Bob Heck here with you here on a Tuesday morning, and we are going to take a quick look at the weather forecast, and then we'll get on with the show. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Frost advisory in effect until 9 a.m. EDT this morning. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Areas of frost. Near steady temperature in the upper 30s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, areas of frost in the morning. Sunny. Highs in the upper 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
We're at 40 degrees right now in our Federico Drive studios. Thank you for tuning in to Morning Drive here on a Tuesday. And it's Bob Heck here, and we're going to be talking about the Small Business Resource Expo from One Berkshire. We have Ben Lamb and Kevin Pink joining us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
So tell us about the expo. What is it? When is it?
Yeah, so this is actually really exciting. We haven't been able to host the expo since 2024. And what it is it's a one-stop shop event. We bring together 20-plus resource providers into a big vendor hall. We've got workshops. We have one-on-one consultations, all focused on the small businesses of Berkshire County and Western Massachusetts. So it's really an exciting affair. It's next Thursday, May 21st. It goes from 9 a.m. till 3. Folks can come and go over the course of the day. We will feed them just to make sure they're nourished over the course of the affair. But it's great that we're actually able to bring it back together this year after a couple years off.
How come you had to take a couple of years off?
You know, as with everything, things come in waves, and resources are often difficult. So this program is actually really made possible through a partnership with Pittsfield Economic Revitalization Corporation. They have some resources that they have been able to support us through this year and in the past when we've been able to do it. And just finding sponsors to actually make the capacity possible to put on the event. So it's really a matter of resources most of the time. And then also, in some cases, doing things every other year, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder. And people really do seek these things out when it's something that they don't see in front of them all the time.
Sure. Talk to us about some of the people that will be there.
Sure. So we'll have a variety of different resource providers. So that includes lenders, insurers, bookkeepers. We'll have some attorneys, some state agencies as well. So a lot of good opportunities to walk in and talk to folks that can help you with your business. And I think my favorite part of this is that it's 100% free to be a small business and show up and walk around the expo floor and take in some of the other opportunities that we've put together that day as well.
Talk to me about some of the, like lenders will be there. Who are they doing the one-on-one consultations, the insurance and...
Yeah, so we do have the one-on-one consultations, which are new this year. We don't have lenders doing those necessarily, but one-on-one consultations are available for booking with legal counsel, bookkeeping, accounting, business plans, and operations. Getting ready for grants, which is a hot topic all the time, basically.
Yes.
Business energy audits, branding and business storytelling, and getting ready to seek capital investment.
Okay, so you talk about grants. Is this something like if you're a nonprofit small business that makes sense for you too?
100%.
Yeah, this is if it's a business, period, or you're thinking about starting a business, come on in and work the expo floor, have some coffee. Have a free lunch. This is one of those cases where there is such a thing as a free lunch. Take in some educational opportunities, make some connections. If you've got business cards, bring those. If you don't, that's okay too. But really just a great opportunity to meet a lot of folks who are interested in helping your business for a low cost or in some cases for free if it's a state agency that offers these programs.
What state agencies are going to be there?
Allowed to say that?
So, oh, man. I'm really testing me. Yeah,
I'm really dropping the bombs on you this morning.
So, a couple of our big friends that always come to these, which is great, Mass Development. And they're going to be having both a table in the main vendor hall and then also doing one-on-one consultations. Our friends at Mass Office of Business Development, the Supplier Diversity Office, so they really help to make sure that businesses that are owned and operated by underrepresented folks, you know, women, folks that are diverse, actually get access to contracts. So it's really kind of a spectrum of that state agency partnership group that really is focused on small businesses and nonprofits. You know, Mass Development, a lot of their work is focused on nonprofits and municipalities. And so I think anybody that does anything entrepreneurial, and again, that includes municipalities in many ways, this is a great opportunity to get to see those folks face-to-face. So much of our world right now is on Zoom, and so you don't even know if people have a torso. But the great thing is this is a chance to see those folks in person, have a real conversation with them, and maybe that leads to future engagements as well. Like, this can be your entry point. It's, you know, low risk. Nobody's there to judge your application on something. It's really just a matter of getting to meet them, getting to know what they can offer you. And another big thing, too, is that we actually have on-site interpretive services in Spanish and Portuguese. So folks that might not be, you know, English might not be their first language, and they would appreciate that comfort of having someone actually support them in that. We're also offering that for free for folks.
If I'm a small business owner, how would I best utilize this event?
That is a great question. So we advise certainly getting there early and getting sort of the lay of the land on the expo floor. So walking around and just seeing, you know, are there folks that are there to offer services in your specific need, right? So if you need a bookkeeper, finding that person. And maybe when you walk up to that table, there's a line, which does sometimes happen. And knowing, okay, well, you know, this accountant I want to talk to is over here, so I'll come back later. You know, work the floor, certainly, shake hands, meet people, all that good stuff. And definitely sign up for some of these 15-minute one-on-one consultations, which you can actually do starting now. They went live yesterday afternoon, and they're going fast. So
I would imagine, yeah.
Definitely we want people to take advantage of those slots. So head on over to our website to learn a little bit more about that stuff. But yeah, find the 15-minute one-on-ones that are interesting to you. We also have these sort of panel-style discussions, and that's where we'll have some in-ear interpretation for folks who primarily speak Spanish or Portuguese. You know, those are great learning opportunities as well. We haven't actually talked a ton about that, but for panel discussions, we have grant readiness. As you see, grants are a hot topic always for nonprofits and for-profit businesses, actually. But grant readiness, accessing capital, and affordable marketing approaches are our sort of panel-style discussions. So we'll have experts from a couple of different providers there to really talk about those particulars. And then also a thing that we haven't talked about that is also new this year is we have a professional photographer, Dan Morgan Photography, who's going to be taking headshots on site.
And dress the part.
Yeah, so yeah. So dress to impress is, or maybe not dress for impression, but dress for business anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you show up in a coat and tails, you know, more power to you, but not required. And yeah, just be prepared to look your best and make a great impression either on camera or in person.
And it's just a headshot, right? So, if you don't want to wear hashtag actual pants, you don't have to.
That's true.
Although pants are probably
preferable,
not optional.
Preferable. We'll say at least some sort of lower torso covering. If you want to show up in a kilt, by all means.
No shirt, no shoes. We'll say.
We're talking with Ben Lamb, Vice President of Economic Development at One Berkshire, and Kevin Pink, Deputy Director of Economic Development at One Berkshire. And we're talking about Small Business Resource Expo. When is the event?
Next Thursday, May 21st, from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m., and it's at the Stationery Factory in Dalton.
Should people expect to be there for the full 6 hours?
No, I mean, I would say if you can be, great. You know, we have 3 workshop sessions, so if you can be there for those workshops, they're from 10 to 11, 11 to 12, and 1 to 2, with a lunch break in between. I feel like that's a good lion's share of the material and the content folks can benefit from. That being said, if you can come for an hour, come for an hour. You know, get meet the people that you're really trying to meet. Network with your peers that are also in the room. I think that that's often an underappreciated aspect of this is, you know, we already have 150 folks registered for this. So there's going to be a lot of peers in the small business community floating around the space. Why not get to engage them a little bit over a cup of coffee or over a bite to eat? You know, a lot of times gleaning from their experiences, too, can be beneficial for folks. So, again, it's a come and go as you please type of event. We love it when folks can stick around for a good chunk of the day because I think that they get the most out of it. But if you're able to just come in for your lunch break or for another, you know, chunk of the day, we ask that they do as long as they register. We do require that folks register beforehand.
So you make a great point because you get to see all the other vendors, but you also have the potential to network with folks, other attendees who may be in another space in business that might be beneficial to your business down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're big fans of business networking at One Berkshire. As you know, Bob, a graduate of the Berkshire Leadership Program in your case, right?
Yes.
And also a board member? Steering committee member.
Yeah.
So Bob has been through sort of the business networking side of things, what we do at One Berkshire. On our team, Economic Development, we host regular entrepreneurial meetups, which are specifically focused on networking among entrepreneurs. And then, you know, as an organization like we are, we regularly have business networking events like our 1B socials and Celebrate the Berkshires and our annual meeting are all good networking events. So rolling it into this makes total sense.
Yeah, and we'll get back to the Small Business Expo. Talk about more particularly your work at One Berkshire, Vice President of Economic Development, Deputy Director of Economic Development. How does that? What exactly? What exactly
what
do you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. We ask ourselves that every day. So you know, I think our work is really interesting because it touches on a lot of different areas, mm-hmm. and it's really agile to what the business community needs in many ways. So. On the day-to-day, you know, we might be doing 12 different things, all tackling different parts of what the economy of the Berkshires looks like. Kind of our meat and potatoes is consultations. So we do around 200 one-on-one consultations with small businesses every year.
Oh,
and
wow.
That ranges everywhere from the, you know, spark of an idea to a business that wants to pass the torch and everywhere in between. So it's really a full spectrum of support. We say that we're never the wrong door to enter because we very often know all of the other players to help connect to those resources or provide something ourselves. So that's a big chunk of our work. On top of that, we're also the stewards and the facilitators of the Berkshire Blueprint 2.0, which is the regional strategic imperative for sustained growth and prosperity. And that focus has really allowed us to structure our work so that we're able to tackle various economic clusters, various cross-cutting issues like transportation and broadband and the housing issues and all those things that very often in places are not integrated into their economic development work. But for us, it's wraparound. We're looking at all of this as being part of our economic ecosystem. So when I say that it really changes with the winds every day,
sure,
in some way, shape, or form, it really does. But it's all towards that strategic goal of helping to create a stronger economic ecosystem for the Berkshires now and for generations to come.
Yeah. That is essentially economic development in a nutshell, is creating fostering the conditions that allow for local business and the local economy writ large to thrive.
So what do you see as the biggest challenges as far as economic development? I mean, you speak of housing, mm-hmm. like, yep. Is that really an economic development issue?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've heard it said, and I agree wholeheartedly and will continue saying this until my head falls off. You can't be pro-business in Massachusetts without also being pro-housing. Put a different way, a home is where a job goes at night or when they're not working, right? So you see it in communities all the time where it is an expensive place to live, and you can't have folks who are in the service industry that serve the right folks who want to live in those expensive communities living there. They just can't afford it. We've heard all kinds of stories from small businesses in the area where I can't get help locally because they can't afford to live here. So I have people driving 40 minutes to the Berkshires to work in my shop.
But it really runs the gamut, though. It's not just any particular strata of workforce either. I think one of the challenges that we see is that when a lot of these larger employers are recruiting talent from outside, right, they can't find that quality housing for those folks to move into. And so they might, you know, say, oh, yeah, I'm going to work for 6 months and try to find housing. But if they don't find housing in that 6 month period, they're likely to not stay around. Mm-hmm. And so that piece of the puzzle, it's inextricable from economic development. If we don't have housing for our workforce, whether they're already here or we want to bring them in, then we're sort of shooting ourselves in the foot in terms of being able to actually grow the businesses that do have a desire to scale. We have a lot of businesses that want to grow, and one of their biggest stumbling points is workforce. And if you can't bring the workforce in and house them, then where are you left?
Or if you can't retain your workforce, yep, because the housing options that they want are not available. Yep. You know, if you've been renting for a really long time and, you know, your economic prospects are improving because you got a raise or you got promoted or whatever, and you're thinking, okay, now I want to buy a house, and you can't find any houses to buy, or you can't find that market rate apartment to move up into, you know, at a certain point you start to think, I don't know. And if your employer needs to replace you, the cost of recruitment is significant, and training and all of that stuff. It's way cheaper to keep an employee you already have.
Now, you had mentioned another thing, too, that I wanted to touch on. You know, without good housing in the area, you have people driving 40 minutes to work at a shop. And I know we all look at the gas prices and it's like, oh, that kind of sucks for me. But,
for everyone,
you know, the gas prices like really affect a lot of different things in the economy.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a trickle effect that you start to see right, mm-hmm. right now. You know, I think a lot of the wave of impact hasn't necessarily been felt across the full economy, but I was literally just listening to things on my way in here this morning, talking about particularly diesel, right, which is what's used for train transportation and truck transportation, the majority of it. And when we start to think about how does that impact the cost of goods, how does that impact supply chain for manufacturers, like it's really going to start to hit if this continues on in terms of those energy costs. But also when we think about, you know, flights, you know, we are a very strong visitor economy in the Berkshires. It's one of our, you know, flags that we plant here and saying, you know, we really love to welcome visitors in. And if, you know, folks aren't flying as much, if folks aren't traveling as much, that really does start to, you know, sort of hone in on another challenge that we could face in terms of visitorship. And so it's a matter of how do we really make this place as attractive as possible and continue to, you know, figure out ways to cut other costs or figure out ways of navigating resources for folks to access so that those cost differences don't impact them as much.
There are other aspects of this as well. You know, we're sort of the elephant in the room here is the Strait of Hormuz, and without getting deeply into geopolitics.
We don't control that.
We don't control that. And
yet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Aspiring.
Yeah. We're not breaking news here, folks, I promise. We haven't seen anything you haven't. But a tremendous amount of the world's supply of helium and fertilizer passed through the Strait of Hormuz. And when we think about what fertilizer means to this area, you know, modern fertilizer is something that has increased agricultural yields significantly. So we start talking about maybe not being able to grow in as much abundance. Helium goes into everything, not just your balloons that, you know, you hand off to an absent-minded toddler, and then it floats up into the atmosphere, and poof, there it goes.
Helium, I'm not a toddler, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, then stop losing your balloons, Ben. But it's critical for MRIs, which is the thing like a lot of people don't think about. Helium is also a finite supply on the planet, and it is a real challenge economically to lose some of these key commodities that come through the Strait of Hormuz.
But that is interesting to, you know, you said, well, there's going to be a helium shortage. And I said, who the hell cares? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But, you know, you get more deeply into it and you realize everybody should care.
Well, yeah. I don't want to panic anybody and say there's going to be a shortage, but it does create bottlenecks in the supply chain, which we saw during the pandemic create some challenges. I don't think people are going to be panic buying helium anytime soon, like we saw with toilet paper. But, you know, there's that. And before we panic anybody else, toilet paper is primarily made in the U.S. and Canada. So We don't have to worry about that.
Calm down, everybody.
Do not need
calm
to
down.
Some don't panic. You know, buy. Yeah. There are probably some people still sitting on their stocks of toilet paper that they purchased in 2020, but yeah, we don't need to panic buy toilet paper again.
Why did we panic buy toilet paper to begin with? What did that have to do with anything? Do you have an answer for that, being in the space?
A lot of
not in the toilet paper space, but like.
Yeah, I mean, I think what really happened in that particular instance, right, was when people moved back to their homes and they weren't necessarily going to the office space, a huge percentage of toilet paper is specifically made for those large rolls that go into, like, your more commercial bathroom. So, yeah. Like, you know, multiple stalls, right? And so the pivot from that to producing enough for all these households that were now also home offices was actually where that crunch came, a lot of that came out of that. And so there actually was plenty of toilet paper, but it was in these jumbo rolls that no one at home could actually utilize. And I think there was a pinch point where it triggered a perception of crisis. What are the things that you absolutely need in your life? Well, unless you've got a bidet, you absolutely need toilet paper, right? And so when we're in sort of that mindset of what is the world going to look like tomorrow, I think it was an easy trigger for a lot of folks to then see, okay, I need to buy this now. I need to order it on Amazon. I need to which creates a false sense of demand right. That's not likely to persist very long. Unfortunately, it didn't last all that long. So,
and also, I think it's, you know, going to a store and buying, you know, your household staple items was something you could do in a time where there were a lot of things you couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what people did. And the natural tendency is, oh, I better get all of this stuff I can because I don't know when I'm going to be able to get it again, which is more challenging than just I'll buy what I need and then come back. And if everyone buys what they need, then we'll be okay. Right. It's like, you know, 12 people trying to fit through a doorway.
Yeah.
It just creates those challenges.
And it's also something that doesn't expire. Like, people aren't going to go out and buy a year's worth of milk. Right, you're just not going to do that. If you do, you're going to end up with cheese or yogurt or something else. But you know, that's not usually a starting point. But with something like toilet paper or dry goods, like, it's easy to stockpile and not necessarily have to worry about it going bad.
We're talking with Ben Lamb and Kevin Pink of One Berkshire, and we've sort of gotten off topic of the small bit.
Weird toilet paper rabbit
hole. Deeply off the rails into toilet paper.
And we'll get back to it, but I'm interested in the economics, yeah. And that is what my degree is in, believe it or not.
Okay.
Nice. I got out of radio, went back to school, got a degree in economics, and got back into radio.
No kidding.
Huh. Yeah, that was a kind
whirlwind.
Of, yeah.
Ben's undergrad is in biology, mine's in history. We work in economic development.
Yep.
There you go.
You know, liberal arts degrees. We gotta love them.
Should we be concerned about the Hantavirus economically?
I don't think
it's a big deal.
Well, everything that these are the things that we have to go down the rabbit hole on every given day,
right?
Like, every day there's a new thing that we have to, like, research in depth enough to be dangerous, right? It's like that's kind of our day to day. So my brain is full of useless knowledge. But generally speaking, everything that I've heard is no, right? It's not the thing right now that we should be most worried about. I think we are a little bit pandemic brained, right? Where everything that looks like it might be the next big bad, the next COVID, whatever, does trigger us to think that it's going to be this huge impact. But right now, from everything I'm seeing, everything that I've been reading, not just US-based, but also international, it's pretty well contained. They're tracking the folks that have been exposure mm-hmm. points. And with hantavirus, like, they, you know, generally they say it takes a significant amount of contact for it to really go from human to human in this particular version. I think it's, I forget the exact code on this one, but it does require you to be in close contact. So unless you've had close contact with somebody that specifically was on that, you know, that on the flight with those folks or on the boat itself, I wouldn't worry too much. And I don't think it's going to shut down anything in any significant way.
That's the difference from COVID, which was easily transmissible. Yeah. And some of those sort of follow on waves of COVID, they were maybe less dangerous, but much easier to transmit. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, maybe the main difference here. Granted, neither of us are virologists.
Right. Yeah, not a doctor.
But the interesting part about economics is the Hantavirus doesn't have to cause a crisis for it to potentially cause a crisis. If enough people think it's going to be a crisis, then it triggers something else, which affects other things.
It's psychological, right? And, mm-hmm. many, and you know, One thing that has been really interesting, right? Because I can remember when news would come out when I was a kid. It was in the newspaper. It was on the 7 o'clock news or whatever. And like that was pretty much the extent of what you saw. Now we are literally pummeled and bombarded with news on this little thing that we carry in our pocket or on our the side of our computer screen or on our Facebook page or whatever social media platform you might be using. And so news travels at the speed of light, and it's often a little bit incorrect unless it's coming from a truly, you know, investigative angle. And so, yes, it's very easy for us to sort of be sucked into that tidal wave of scare information or kind of sensationalization that occurs. And for us, like, it's a big piece of our work is being responsive, not reactive.
Right.
And so, yes, like, a thing might come through and we have to look at it and we have to do a deep dive. And again, enough to be dangerous. Run it through the grinder a bit and make sure that it's something to be concerned about or not. And then work with that information. And I think that as a model for life is probably a healthier approach than seeing something on Instagram and sharing it to a million followers and then maybe in a few days finding out that was incorrect, but you drove all of this crisis because of that post, right? So, again, it's a lot of psychology. I do not think that this is necessarily going to be the one that drives it too far. I think there's plenty of other things in this world for us to be concerned about that are getting enough radio and airtime. So,
like, is that a concern, AI-generated stories, both from a small business resource aspect and, you know, from just a general economic aspect? I mean, for the most part, I could tell the bull crap from the non-bull crap. But sometimes
it's getting harder.
And there are certain folks at certain levels of government where if they said something, if they said this particular person did something, it'd be kind of hard not to believe it because the things that have happened are on the crazy side. Like, how does that AI work in with small business and what I'm talking about here?
I'll just say, I think with anything, you could say the same about fire. Anything can be a tool or anything can be used for unsavory activity, right? And I think AI is one of those things where it's accelerated so quickly that many people are just playing catch up to understand what the heck the thing is.
Yeah.
And then the people that do understand what it is still haven't necessarily figured out how can I make the most of this for myself, for my business, whatever the case might be. There are definitely tools that are coming to play. I know Massachusetts just recently launched some free trainings for folks to be able to leverage AI. So they actually have it on a state platform, totally free to anybody in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to access this, where you can learn more about this stuff from trusted platforms, right? It's not totally, you know, it's not coming off of some corner of the dark web,
right.
But it's, you know, some trusted ability to learn how can I use this for good, ideally. And then also, how can I identify things that might be malicious in intent? And I think the thing that shocked me the other day was when my 8-year-old told me that he could identify things that were generated by AI. And that gave me a little bit of hope that, you know, maybe that generation will be tuned in similar to how we were tuned in to certain things based on how we grew up. I think it can be used for good or bad. Mm-hmm. And we just hope that folks that are opting to utilize it are utilizing it to the benefit of themselves and also to make them able to do their work better, not to necessarily get rid of workforce. I think that's another piece of this puzzle, too, that everyone's worried about is AI going to take jobs away? And I think the narrative really is that folks that understand how to utilize AI are going to be more effective and efficient potentially. So they're the ones that are going to take your jobs, are the ones that are using the tools in a particular way. And so I think that that's also a piece of the puzzle.
There are, back to sort of your original question, Bob, there are a significant amount of bad actors using AI for whatever nefarious purposes they may have. If something sounds so outrageous, and particularly if you really want it to be true, it's always worth like Googling a little bit.
Yeah.
Checking with Snopes, especially, to identify whether what you've seen is real or not real. Mm-hmm. All right. There's this story of a wealthy guy throwing a rock at a sea lion in Hawaii and receiving sort of the consequences from local government officials and
local residents.
Local residents, sure.
Yep.
And the question is that real or was that entirely fabricated? And you can sort of look at the internet and go, okay, there are enough sources that are corroborating this. There's enough primary sources as well, mm-hmm. right? So people who actually were there or saw the thing, that you can sort of conclude, okay, this is the real deal versus, oh, no, this is something some guy cooked up in his basement. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, as much as the world is really in sort of this headlong rush to embrace AI, humans always need to be in the loop and to be able to verify that something is real versus not real.
Right. All right, you're listening to Morning Drive here on WTBR. Ben Lamb, Kevin Pink from One Berkshire. We'll get back to the Small Business Expo coming up next Thursday at the Stationery Factory on the other side of the break here on WTBR.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Berkshire Running Foundation was created to advance and support the positive impact the running community has in the neighborhoods we live. In the past decade, we have been able to donate over $300,000 to dozens of nonprofit organizations here in Berkshire County through our races and free wellness programming. Please visit berkshirerun.org to support our mission to continue to have a social and economic impact on the Berkshires.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back here on Morning Drive on a Tuesday morning. More with Kevin Pink and Ben Lamb on the way, but let's take a look at the forecast.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Frost advisory in effect until 9 a.m. EDT this morning. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Areas of frost. Near steady temperature in the upper 30s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, areas of frost in the morning. Sunny. Highs in the upper 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Right now, 41 degrees at our Federico Drive studios. Thank you for tuning in to Morning Drive. And more now. Let's get back to the Small Business Expo, shall we?
That's good.
So, again, let's recap for folks that are just tuning in. When is this event?
Sure. So it's next Thursday, May 21st, from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. It's totally free for entrepreneurs and small businesses to attend. We just have to have them register so that we can plan accordingly for food and beverage and that type of thing. We have over 20 resource providers that will be there on site, in person, ready to meet you and engage. We also have three workshops, one on marketing, one on grant preparedness, and one on accessing finance. And we've got two new additions. One is a photo booth with Dan Morgan Photography to get your professional headshots that you can blast all over all of your platforms afterwards. All totally free again. And then one-on-one consultations with some experts that kind of run the gamut in terms of what they can offer, just to give you very specific answers to very specific questions that you might not be able to get answered otherwise.
And for folks who have businesses and would like to register, they can find this event on our website. They can find it on our social media. They can go to bit.ly/SBRE-2026. And that will allow them to register for this event, which is basically the only thing we're asking of you. If you want to show up, we'll give you free coffee and a free lunch and the opportunity to learn and meet a whole bunch of people who can help your business. And all we need you to do is register. Otherwise, it's completely free.
Excellent. Sounds like a lot of fun at the Small Business Resource Expo. And it's been a couple of years since. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'll just go next year.
Right. It may not happen next year. You know, it's, again, it's not necessarily something that you need to go to every year. And so that's why, again, like going on to this every other year rotation seems to make a lot of sense. Because we did, last time we did it, it was 2024. Skip 2025, and we're seeing a bumper crop of registrations this year, which is a signal that, you know, that one year, again, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
And this really grew out of the sort of the reopening and the getting back to it after the pandemic. I think the first year we did this was 22. And, you know, we knew that there was this appetite to sort of get out and meet people. And we figured this is a good opportunity to combine that urge to socialize again with one-stop shopping for all of your kind of small business resource needs. So whether that's state agencies, whether that is a bookkeeper or an insurer or a lender, we've got all these folks in one place. So you can kind of make the rounds, talk to a whole bunch of people, meet your fellow entrepreneurs and small business owners. We often see a lot of great collaborations come out of those meetings. And it's just really, here we are in National Small Business Month, kind of a great way to really celebrate National Small Business Month.
Now, you mentioned bookkeepers, and I'm sure there's somebody listening to the show right now who's running a small business who's tearing their hair out because, you know, they just want to make watches, or they just want to do construction. They don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do payroll. They don't want to do benefits or any of that stuff. So there's like independent bookkeepers out there who will handle all that crap for you.
Yeah, yeah. They're basically fractional employees. So, you know, I think one thing that a lot of small business owners kind of land themselves in is they are running everything. They're doing everything for their business, right? I mean, you can only be so good at so many things. And so the great thing is that there are these folks out there, whether it's bookkeepers, whether it's even like fundraising folks, if you're a nonprofit, that do this fractional work. So they'll spend a few hours on your business, specifically doing that work for your business, and it's off your mind, it's off your shoulders. But it gives you that structure and that expertise on the back end that you're then able to do the thing that you want to do, make your watches, you know, fix your cars, you know, develop the new technology, whatever the case might be, without having to worry about those pain in the butt things like, you know, taxes and bookkeeping and all that.
Right.
Yeah. We talk regularly about sort of the difference between working in your business, right, which is, if you're a plumber, that is, you know, sweating pipes and fixing water heaters and all that stuff, versus on your business. And the working on your business is sort of the day-to-day stuff of, you know, marketing and doing your books, making sure you're invoicing your clients and all that stuff. But then it's also some of that larger strategic thinking stuff around like, okay, well, what would be something that would allow me to expand my business? You know, how do I get to opening a shop or expanding into e-commerce? What are those things that will help move me forward? What's my succession plan, right? When I want to retire and be out of this, how is that going to go? And how long until I can do that? How much money do I need? And those things. That's the working on the business stuff, which a lot of small business owners don't love to get into. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can sort of start to offload that cognitive load a little bit. You can certainly talk to us about it. And then there are folks who do offer those fractional services all the way up to and including fractional executives. Mm-hmm. So at most steps along the way, there's somebody who is doing the thing that you don't want to do. And you have to decide whether it's worth paying that fee, whatever they command, versus doing it yourself.
And on the other edge of the coin, you know, I've finally gotten into my time's valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this life. And, you know, there's certain things that would take me 10 hours to do.
Yep. Sure.
That if I just have somebody else do it, mm-hmm. they're going to bang it out in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, how stupid are you to not just go to an expert who's been doing this for years and start trying to figure it out yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you're not stupid. You're gritty, right? We'll use that as a phrase, right? And a lot of our small business owners and operators are these very gritty individuals that they've like carved it out of stone, right? Like they've created this thing. They're running this thing, or it's a multi-generation business that they continue to carry on, and you just don't even realize the things that you could be handing off to someone else. And again, a lot of our consultations that come through, those are the conversations that we're having. It's like, so you're really good at this thing, this whatever that thing is, but you hate doing marketing, right? And you hate doing social media. So why don't you look at siloing that out and having someone do that for you so you can maximize your revenue, you can maximize your footprint while not having to learn that new skill. But again, to Kevin's point, working in your business versus working on your business, it's just a mindset, and helping people to kind of trip that switch a little bit and realize, oh, there's help out there, right? It's not ignorance. It's just sometimes that if it's not right in front of you, you don't recognize that it's an opportunity.
And I think some of it is the mindset of being an entrepreneur, right? Like when you get started, you often don't have the extra capital to spend on marketing other than like, oh, I'm going to digital target some ads on social media. So I'll spend money on that, but I'm not going to pay someone to generate those ads for me. And you spend, you know, however long until your business really starts to get going in that mode of I can't afford somebody else. I have to do this. And you start to develop this jack of all trades persona that you get pretty good at some of these things. And so I think there's, to some degree, it's probably a little bit of a sense of pride, but probably also a sense of confidence and capability. And then at a certain point, it becomes kind of a psychological conversation with yourself about, okay, I can do this, but to your point, Bob, it's going to take me 10 hours. It's not worth the value of my time because I could be using that time for this instead. And maybe that this is a business thing. Maybe that this is I'm going to play a little more golf or spend a little more time on the beach this year or whatever. And it is okay. Like, I guess we'll, if you need the justification, we'll backstop that for mm-hmm. you at One Berkshire. That yes, you can step away from your business once in a while once you've reached a certain point. You don't have to stand on that principle.
And on the other side of the coin there too, though, is if you had, you know, a lot of people, myself included, they're penny wise, dollar foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where if you do pay somebody, even though you don't have the capital yet to generate your first social media ad, how much, what's your return on investment on that?
Sure.
How much money are you going to make that you wouldn't have made if you just had a professional to do it? Particularly in social media, where it mm-hmm. just changes so often.
And that's why having folks that are experts in that at the helm is really important, because they're able to navigate the changes in real time. Meanwhile, if you don't pay attention to something for a week and a half, suddenly the world has changed, right? And I think when you get to that point of thinking about, like, you don't have the money now, or you don't know if the money is going to be there to pay for this thing later, that's where projections really come in. And, you know, as much as I love when businesses start and they just pick up and go, having a quality business plan and having done that homework and really projecting out, okay, so this is what I can expect to be generating and this is how I'm going to get there, that's pretty mission critical to sustain success. And you would be, maybe you wouldn't be shocked, but you would likely be shocked at how many businesses never had a real business plan, never did 3 to 5 year projections. Or, you know, they've been around for multiple generations and they're, you know, they've transitioned from one to the next. And that business plan happened 50 years ago. They're way past there now, but they haven't taken or had the time, rather, to actually sink in and do another one of what does the next era of this business look like. And so very often we find ourselves either directly helping in that work or referring them to the Small Business Development Center or one of our other partners to do that deep dive, unsexy work of building a business plan or remodeling their plan so that it meets contemporary needs. And that is where, when you figure out what those projections look like and how you need to get there, that you can start to plug in these pieces that, again, you might think that you don't have the money now and you don't know if the money is going to come together. But if you've done the homework and the planning accordingly, you can be a little bit more secure in targeting those goals.
Yeah, operating a business without a business plan is like trying to put together a cabinet from IKEA without instructions, right?
Yeah,
you can probably do it. But,
but will everything be flush and will the
be an extra
doors
screw.
Open?
Oh, yeah.
And on the social media piece, I will say that, yeah, it does change pretty regularly, and that's why there are folks out there who are really good at it. And we would be remiss if we didn't put in a little bit of a plug for our own marketing team at One Berkshire, who they've actually been hosting kind of periodic, like, Ask Me Anything calls where you can really learn about a specific subject that they have a background in. And those are free and open to the public, I believe. Versus there are some benefits that you get with our marketing team by being a One Berkshire member. Mm-hmm. But there are some free resources out there working with us from our small business consults. I don't think we covered this, but that our consults are free. They're actually supported by, the membership. So that's a way to sort of pay it forward. If you're a One Berkshire member is, some of those membership dollars go to support the consultations of tomorrow's businesses who are going to be your clients potentially, or you know, that might allow someone to stay in the area, and now a family member is an employee of yours, and so on and so forth. So it's really feeding into that ecosystem. That's the economic development that we're talking about,
right,
in the small scale right there.
And so again, the Small Business Expo, Resource Expo, coming up next Thursday at the Stationery Factory from 9 to 3. And I don't think we've talked about the sponsors of the event. I mean, we're going to give them their plugs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So we're really lucky to have an interesting spectrum of sponsors with us. So the one carrying the biggest weight, I'll just throw out there, is Perk. Again, working really closely with them. They are really helping us to put, like, they gave us the fuel for this fire to start it off and run with it. But then also Berkshire Regional Planning Commission has been an organizing partner. In terms of direct resources, we have Common Capital came in as a sponsor, Donovan O'Connor and Dodig, Mass Development, Revision Energy, and then the Ring Squared Access Plus team. So those are kind of our key sponsors. And then we also have Aladco, who's our diehard, you know, linen sponsor, coming in as well. Always loving the extra support there. But, you know, everyone that invests in this, whether it's directly sponsoring or it's, you know, giving a little bit extra of themselves when we do contract with them, the Stationery Factory being a great example, right? They're always super supportive of nonprofits trying to use their space and giving them the break that they might need to make it possible. You know, they're worth a thank you as well, just to note that these are folks giving of their time, energy, and treasure to bring this thing to life. And so, yeah, we've got a great crew of folks wrapped around with us.
And we've had a great team working together to plan this as well. So in addition to us at One Berkshire, it's Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, Common Capital, the LGBT Chamber of Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Small Business Development Center, and of course, PERC have all been at the table as we've been sort of talking through the logistics on this one. And that is one of the things that makes this such a great place to start and grow a business is we have all these small business support organizations in the Berkshires. And so it makes it a little easier to put together an expo that is one-stop shopping for all of these different business needs.
So you have folks there. I was just sort of reading here. business plans and operations. Somebody could do a 15-minute
right.
consult on that.
That's right. Yep. And you're not going to build your business plan in 15 minutes. But
of
if
course.
You, yeah, but right, if you've man. Got one, yeah. if you've got one, it's a great way to have somebody look at it for you. If you don't have one, it's a great way to sort of go over the basics of what needs to go into a business plan. And it's a good entree to, okay, now there are folks that I can work with to develop my business plan. And that's, at least at a conceptual basis, if you're not really sure what a business plan is or why you need one, the 15 minutes is probably all you need to convince you that it's a good idea.
Other than, you know, and it's, I don't want to say common sense because, you know, when you're starting a small business, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
There are people out there who build Lego kits without reading the instructions. Mm-hmm. And God bless them. That's never been my style. Yeah. So, yeah, there are a lot of unknown unknowns in that environment. And being able to wrap your head around some of those things is a good way to do things, more broadly speaking.
I think these consultations, too, whether it's that one or it's, you know, on the legal side or it's an energy audit or whatever the case might be, we've got a really kind of diverse range of who these folks are that are providing these consultations. It's an appetizer, right? This is not meant to be your full meal of work with that person. And, but it could be the entry point to working with them in the future and continuing on after the event's over, too. By having many, you know, I think what we've run into a lot, too, is a lot of small business owners want that face-to-face meeting with somebody, whether it's us, whether it's one of the other resource providers that we usually connect them with. And so just having that opportunity to meet someone for 10 to 15 minutes, feel comfortable working with them, trusting them because you know that they're a real person and not, again, some artificial thing or somebody that has no connection to this region. That just, we are a trust-based economy. And I think that it's really important for people to recognize that if we are able to build that trust early and often, then we all can continue to succeed in a much more aggressive way, in a positive sense. But if we don't have trust built, it's really hard to get past that barrier early on. So those consultations are a great example of that.
And it's also important to, you know, as far as the local economy goes and a variety of other things, to work with somebody local. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly nice to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody and have them, you know, pick up the phone rather than, you know, finding out all their options have changed.
Our menu has recently changed.
Every business, their menu has recently changed. What is up with that?
Perpetually in flux. It is the same thing, Bob, as going to a farmer's market, I think, mm-hmm. and being able to shake the hand of someone who had a hand in growing the produce you're taking home, right? We still really view trust as important and your reputation as a currency in this area. So,
and keeping it local, like, you know, we usually say that a couple times a year, right? We usually say it around the holidays, then we say it in Small Business Month. But the reality is the more you can keep your work local, you can keep the contractors local, you can work with local accountants and banks and all, like, the more local investment we make in one another, the stronger we all collectively get. And I think that this is another example. Like, these resource providers, most of them are locally, some of them are state-based, obviously, but most of them are from this region or from Western Massachusetts, and they're committed to this region and Western Massachusetts. So it's a mutual two-way street in that sense, where they're invested in you and you working with them, that's going to be a critical pipeline for the future.
Now, that said, we are not checking people's places of residence at the door. So if you are the kind of person who is just a big Bob Heck fan and you're listening to this recorded later in the day, and you know your business is in Watertown or Worcester or Woburn, got W's on the name W's, this morning, come on out. Come on out. We have folks who come from the Valley. We have folks who come from the Boston area for this, just because they know that it's a great resource. Mm-hmm. And because maybe they want to work with a Massachusetts business or a woman-owned business in Massachusetts or something like that. And this is a great way to meet some of those businesses.
We're talking with Kevin Pink and Ben Lamb from One Berkshire, the Small Business Resource Expo coming up next Thursday, May 21st at the Stationery Factory from 9 to 3. Just a variety of different vendors. And, you know, if you are a small business or you're thinking about starting a small business, and again, we talked about you don't know what you don't know. So it's always... if you don't know, go and find out what you may not know. And again, that is coming up. And you get a free meal out of it, too,
at
right?
At bare minimum, it's going to be a good time. So,
Lots of friends to make and you know, meet the people you haven't met in your own community of small businesses.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks
and,
for having us.
Yeah, always come back anytime. Just
we'll knock on the door.
Yeah. As you see that alarm,
yeah,
that door's
alarmed. Don't set
alarm,
off the alarm.
So,
yeah.
So don't do that. Bill Sturgeon back in tomorrow morning. He's going to be broadcasting live from Taconic High School. He'll be on the air tomorrow at 7:30. So I will be back with you next week. And thanks for tuning in to Morning Drive. Have a great day, everybody.